I just want to point this out. When people have never had the true word of God, there's a vacuum there. And it reminds me of when the Iron Curtain came down, and in places like Romania, when freedom was celebrated and the word of God was able to be preached without persecution, they would rent halls to show a movie and to present the gospel. And thousands came, and you couldn't put everybody inside, so they had to move it to outside. And it was like the whole town, the whole city would come. You know that you're in a place where people are gospel hardened. When you can have an event in a community and barely 1% of the community comes out. We need a revival. Not only that, but it's sad that when Christians gather, that a good percentage of the Christian community won't even come. But because they were hungry for the truth, man, almost the whole community came out. Verse 45, and when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So Paul and Barnabas, they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So Father, we ask that you would help us to understand this narrative and what took place and see the spiritual principles that are there that we can apply to our lives. Help us to see the truth of your word, because your word is truth. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. No matter where in history, whenever God's word is proclaimed, taught, spoken, presented, it in and of itself demands a response. Now, some would say, well, Pastor, not, I don't agree with that, because some are just ambivalent. They give no response. That is a response. The Word of God requires a response. And when people stand before God at the great white throne judgment, this will be brought before them. The very fact that they were presented with the very words of life and they responded poorly to it, they don't get a get out of jail free card at that point. But there is a response of some kind. Church, listen. We live in a world that's every day becoming coarser and harder in its truth toward God's word. And they are replacing it with human I just lost the thought I was going to say, with a humanism of sorts. And to be real honest with you, when people move away from the truth of God's design and the way God designed humanity and the world, they become imbeciles, absolute imbeciles in what they think. This past week, a young lady by the name of Riley Gaines spoke to Congress. There was a hearing on the Title IX issue, which is robbing women of competitive fairness in sports all across America, in high school sports, in collegiate sports. Because the Biden administration is wanting to change Title IX to allow biological males to freely compete against biological women. Okay? And you have people who are testifying before Congress, Riley Gaines is not one of them, who say that you cannot tell what a woman is unless you are a doctor. And they're screaming and saying, well, what you people want is you want physical exams for all teenage girls and boys to tell who's who. And here's the point. Throughout all of human history, there was no need for a physical examination to tell who's a boy or a girl. And as a result of all of that, you have imbeciles making policies for our country and the world. And when people move away from the truth of God's word, they show themselves to be the idiots that they are. Yeah, I said the word idiot. Because the Bible says in the last days, people will always be learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, we will continue to have a society full of educated fools. And so Paul comes here and he lays out the word of God, and he did it throughout the chapter 13 in amazing fashion. I mean, it's a long chapter, a long message, and a long sermon. And we spent several messages on the content of that. And then here we see the response. So I want to give you these responses to God's word. Number one, in the responses to God's word, some invite the opportunity to hear the word of God. Some invite the opportunity to hear the word of God. In verses 42 through 44, it says that they heard the word. They invited them to speak further on these things. They encouraged them. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. No matter what is happening in the culture, no matter what is happening in society, there are people, and there will always be people, who will respond to God's word by wanting more of it. There are a lot of people today who slept in. Some of you slept in and you were late for church today. And that's okay, because you know what? Listen, you whatever reason you slept in, and you got a lot going on in life, but you realize, man, I want to go to church, and you came anyway, even if you came late, right? Some people say, better late than never. No, here's the point that I'll make, is you come late, and stuff happens, especially if you have little children. And sometimes, you know, it would be just like, sometimes you would think it would be better just to tap out and just say, I'm not going. But somehow, some way, you keep going. A lot of you got up and you came. Why? Because you wanted to be part of your church family. You wanted to be part of a Bible study. You wanted to be part of a worship gathering together where we collectively worship our Savior on the first day of the week, on the day that Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. You wanted to come and hear God's word proclaimed. You wanted to hear the foolishness of preaching. And so you invite the opportunity to hear the word of God. With modern technology today, I tell you, you can use it for bad or you can use it for good. There are some of us, we just don't want to hear it on Sundays. We want to hear it on the way to work, and so we follow a podcast of some kind. Some of us actually are very talented. We could watch YouTube and listen at the same time and drive. which I don't tell my wife about because she doesn't like that. I say, I listen. I'm not looking. She goes, then make the screen go away where you just hear. And I'm like, well, then I couldn't see. And she goes, well, you should be driving. And I'm like, well, I'm talented. So some people respond by inviting the opportunity to hear the Word of God. That should be the heartbeat of every Christian. Number two, some attack the messenger because of deep-rooted issues that they have within. You say, what? That's exactly what I said. Some attack the messenger because of deep-rooted issues within. Look at verse 45. When the Jews saw the crowds, these were the unbelieving Jews, they were filled with jealousy. They had some unresolved issues within them that caused them to be jealous toward Paul, because Paul and Barnabas were being listened to rather than these guys. And they began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. They began to attack the messenger. We studied today in Sunday school where when the people crossed through the Red Sea and they were in the wilderness and God was providing manna and quail for them to eat at night. Man, pretty good gig. Meat and bread. Meat at night and bread in the morning. But they were grumbling against Moses and Aaron, and they had to be reminded, your issue is not with Moses and Aaron. Your issue is with God. God's the one who brought you through the Red Sea. Moses and Aaron didn't part the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, and He brought you here. And so your aggravation and your grumbling is toward God, not toward these men. But there are some who will attack the messenger. I get it when people say this, oh, preacher, you stepped on my toes today. I did not do any such thing. It wasn't me. It was the Word of God. Well, preacher, you've gone from preaching to meddling. No, that's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit goes and He deals with our issues within our heart. But I will say this, that as a preacher of the Word, I've had to come to terms with the fact that there will be many who go after the messenger because they have deep-rooted issues within them. They'll be jealous for some reason or another. There will be some people at work that will be jealous of you because you're a Christian and you have found joy in Jesus Christ. There will be people that will be angry and upset with you because, not because your life is perfect, it's far from it, and you don't claim that your life is perfect, but because you're a Christian, you know how it all ends, and you know the one who can bring peace, and you rest in that, and you know that even though times are difficult in your life, you've learned how to trust Him through it all. There will be some that will be angry at you because you have gained victory. You have been transformed in Jesus Christ, and your life is different, and you want them to have that same freedom. You're not judging them and thinking and saying to them that you're better than them. You're actually throwing them a lifeline over the edge of the boat as they're drowning and saying, listen, you don't realize it, but it's not good for you down there. We have found the answer to life. His name is Jesus. But they will attack you because you are the messenger. And it's because they have deep-rooted issues. You say, what are those issues? Well, right here, it was jealousy. What it is that they are not secure in who they are in Christ because they're not Christians. And so they're always angry at God. And the Bible says that. The Bible says that between God and man, there's enmity. Man has enmity toward God. He's an enemy of God. He's angry at God. Jesus told Paul when he found him on the road to Damascus, he said to him, he goes, Paul, it's impossible for you to kick against the goads. The goads are sharp, pointy stick to goad and push the sheep around. And Jesus was saying to him, the truth of the Word of God and the truth of salvation is like a goad to you, Paul, and you're kicking against the truth and you're not going to win. So some attack the messenger because of deep-rooted issues within. Number three, some reject the Word of God without consideration to eternity. That's one of the saddest statements you could ever make. Some reject the Word without consideration to eternity. Look at verses 46 through 47. And Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first." What does the Bible say? For the gospel is the power of God unto the salvation for the Jew first, and also for the Greek or for the Gentile. And since you reject it, what does the Bible say? Jesus said he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. So some will literally reject the word of God without consideration to eternity. How can we, being human, knowing what we know, seeing what we see, not realize that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment? You can live in deceit if you want. And you can say, "I don't ever want to talk about death. I don't want to see death. I don't want to..." Doesn't matter. It's not going to make it go away. It's not going to make it as if it doesn't happen. It happens to all. I'll never forget something. I was a young Christian when my mother-in-law passed away. She was 57 years old. And I remember my father-in-law, he was grieving. And he told the pastor who came to see him, pastor's name, Brother Mike. And he said, "Brother Mike..." He said, I know I'm not the first man to ever lose his wife. And I'm not the only man that will ever lose his wife. It's happened to billions. But it hurts deeply because it's my wife." Right? And I learned something that day. He knew. He knew that this day could come, especially when she got sick. He knew that this was probably going to happen, and he realized that death comes to all of us in one way or another. And so that's the first thing, is to consider, what are you going to do? I say this in funerals a lot, and I should say it beyond just funerals, is what you have spiritually right now good enough to go into eternity with? Say, "Well, I think so." No, that's not good enough. Because the Bible teaches us that we have a no-so salvation. It says that in 1 John, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And the only way you can know that you have eternal life is to know that your eternity is based on what Jesus did for you on the cross, and that you put your faith and trust in Him. And so some reject the Word of God without consideration to eternity. It's as though some people think they're going to be the only ones to cheat death. And Jesus is the one. He didn't cheat death. He smashed it. He obliterated it. And so this is a sad statement. Some reject the word without consideration to eternity. Don't be that person. Number four, some gladly honor the word by believing. Notice the difference. Notice the extreme differences. So some reject it without consideration to eternity. Verse 48, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord." What's the greatest thing you can do to honor God's word? First of all, receive His Son, Jesus Christ. Honor God by receiving His Son. And then began to live according to His word. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Now, I don't want to get into a deep discussion here. We've got some things to talk about here in the near future when we talk about this. But there's a doctrine called election. And I believe the Bible teaches that. I do believe that every person is given an opportunity to receive Christ, for the grace of God which brings salvation has appeared to all men, Titus says, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously and soberly in this present age. However, no one can get saved on their own. Men are totally depraved. You don't wake up one day and choose God. God chooses you. God begins to move upon you. And you have a responsibility by faith to receive Him. And those who receive Him are appointed unto eternal life. Man isn't the author of salvation. God is. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. So some gladly honor the Word by believing. So here's the point. When the Word of God is being taught and preached and you hear it, my friend, listen, if you haven't received Christ, you better not put it off. Because while God is speaking, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. It's today. It's this opportunity you have right now. I remember when God was moving upon my life. I can see it better now. Back then, I didn't fully understand what was happening. But I can see it as clearly as the day. Things began to get real clear to me. And I was faced with Him. And I received Him as my Lord and Savior. And I gladly honored the Word of God. And every one of you who've become Christians, you have gladly honored God's Word by believing. And notice there's some who just won't believe. See, listen, it is not my job to try to convince somebody to believe God's Word. God's Word doesn't need me to defend it. It will defend itself. It's like Billy Graham said one time, God's Word's like a lion. Turn it loose and let it do its thing, you know. God's Word will never return void or empty. I have a responsibility to respond properly to God's Word. Number five, I'm going to give you five and six. Number five, some stir up trouble by deceiving even God-fearing believers. It's right there in the text, y'all. Some stir up trouble by deceiving even God-fearing believers. So some people, it's not good enough for them to attack the messenger. They want to muddy the waters for the church. They want to complicate things for the average believer. And so what they do is they get a side issue and they begin to stir things up in God's church. And it says here, the word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So what they did was, they went and they stirred up believers. They propagated some lie. They told some kind of story. Who knows? Because it was threatening their security. It was threatening their way of life. And they couldn't control it. See, here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit shows up and God begins to work, no man can control Him. And religious leaders who are not true Christians love to control people. They love to control. Narcissism does that. I'm the pastor of this church. I don't control this church. The Holy Spirit controls this church. And I'll tell you, it's given me great freedom over the years to be able to live a life without worrying what everybody's doing. Right? Hey, Brother Cord, do you know what so-and-so's doing? No, and why should I? It's not my business. Well, they're part of your church. It's not my business to know everything that everybody's doing. That's one of the reasons why I'm no longer on Facebook. I got tired of knowing what everybody was doing. It was too much. And so what some people try to do is they try to stir up trouble when God's Word is being spread, and they will even deceive some God-fearing believers. Be careful. I will say this. When God's word is at a premium, now when I say it's at a premium, I mean it in this context, where God's people are loving God's word. You know, we're at a sweet place in the life of our church in these last few years. I would say post-COVID, where there has been an absolute love for God's word within our congregation. I mean, for Bible study on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, for worship service at 10:15, on Wednesdays, all the Bible studies we have at various different times, groups gathering together for Bible studies. The people love being together. There's been a renaissance there. I can see it. I've been in ministry almost 40 years, and it's as gratifying as any period of time that I've ever been a pastor. Okay? But when God's word is at a premium and God is doing amazing things and people are growing in their faith and being strong, let me tell you one thing that's fixing to happen. Satan is going to try to stir something up. He always does. And you and I'm including myself, need to be very careful as God-fearing people that we don't get caught up in that. So the final thing is this. In the responses to the word of God, notice the disciples were obedient, they were filled and full of joy. Look at what it says here. So they shook the dust off their feet. They were expelled not only from the town, but from the region. So the leading men of the community were deceived into kicking Paul and them out. And so they got kicked out, so the word of God couldn't spread anymore. And you know what Paul and Barnabas did? The concept there, it's an ancient concept, but when you kick the dust off your feet, you're saying, you're in the hands of God now. We are no longer responsible for you. We have given you the truth, and if you want to live in disobedience to God, you deal with that. But we're going where people want to hear the word of God. We're going where the word of God is going to be received. And we're not going to continue to bang our head against the wall where you don't want to hear God's word. You don't want to be a part of it. And so we're going to go where God is moving, where people's hearts are open to the gospel. And so they were obedient, but it didn't deter them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And notice, you know, this may not necessarily be a Christmas kind of message, but we end with the word joy. Full of joy. When you hear the word of God and you receive the word of God, and you teach the word of God and you live by the word of God, I'll tell you what it does. It produces obedience within you. It will fill you. And it'll give you joy. And joy is not subject to the circumstances of life. If you live your life based on the fleeting circumstances of everyday life, you are going to be like this. You're going to look just like a turkey. You've ever seen a turkey walk? Turkey walk? Never thought you'd see that on Sunday, right? Preacher doing turkey walk. You'll be constantly going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, like a yo-yo, and you'll never have any joy, never have any peace. See, that's why, to me, I've lived long enough to know that I've had people that I voted for get in office. I've had people that I didn't vote for get in office. And it's cyclical, and it goes round and round and round. And yes, we can see the results of bad governance all around us, absolutely. I'm glad I live in Florida and not in California. And California is a beautiful state. Miss Karen, where's Miss Karen back there? Miss Karen's from California, and I know she loves her state. And there are lots of places in the state of California that are full of godly people and wonderful communities. However, there's some people that have really messed it up governance-wise, right? But here's the point I'm making. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, who's in the State House, who's in the schoolhouse as to my joy, as to how I walk and how I respond to God and how I live my Christian life. Because I don't answer to them. And my joy isn't doesn't come from even the culture. It comes from a walk with the Lord Jesus. Now, yes, am I concerned about the culture and the way it's going? Absolutely. It's a battle for our children. It's a battle for spirituality. It's really not about politics. It's about everything that's right and godly that we're fighting for. That's why I'm up here every Sunday preaching the truth of God's Word, because I want to impact you and I want your children to grow and I want them to have a passion and a love for the truth of God's Word and to live for the Lord and to make a difference in that way. So the disciples, in presenting the Word of God, were able to be obedient. They delivered God's Word. Some received it, but a vast majority of them rejected it. They shook the dust off their feet. They went to the next place. Listen. In the same way, there are people in your life that will oppose you. And you keep beating your head on the wall. You don't realize that you don't need them. You need Jesus. I'm not saying, I'll never burn the bridge as best as I can help it on a relationship. I have in the past, and I've learned that that's not right. However, the Bible says to live at peace with all men as much as depends on you. Listen to me. You may have to shake the dust off your feet when it comes to some relationships, because they've rejected the Word of God. They are deceiving you. And how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about relationships in life, and I'm talking about responding to the truth of God's Word. Let the Word of God fill you and respond properly to God's Word, because there are plenty out there that will respond poorly, negatively, with unbelief. Pray for them. Don't worry about them. You respond. You're responsible for you, so you respond in that right way. And I guarantee you, your life will be much more joyful, fulfilled, because you have the Lord and you have His Word. You can have a lot of people reject you, but have a full life. Because it's not whether or not people like you or people reject you or people want to be with you or people don't want to be with you. It's about whether or not you have obeyed the truth of God's Word. And God's Word will never lead you wrong, ever. Jesus will never lead you wrong. Living for Christ is never the wrong decision. It's always the right decision. Always. So let's stand together, everybody. Father, we thank you for your Word. And we thank you that we have the ability to respond to the Word of God. My prayer is that we would respond properly. I pray for those who reject it, who reject it with no consideration of eternity. I pray for those who have been used to stir things up. I pray for those who have been deceived. I pray, Father, for those whom the Word of God is moving in and working. And I pray for myself that I would respond properly to the Word of God, because there have been times in my life with no concern for eternity that I rejected Your Word. And somehow through Your graciousness, You gave me another opportunity. So Father, we trust You today. I pray for our church. I pray for our community. I pray for our nation. That You, God, would not shake the dust off Your feet and write, "Ichabod, the glory has departed," over the doorpost of our community. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. As our worship team leads you and me, I don't mean to say you know the drill, but you know. You respond to the Lord however God leads you. I'll be here if you want somebody to pray with you. Let God lead you this morning.